This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
About it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more. Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
All right, buy or sell time. We went over the transfer portal stuff, the fact that they're going to eliminate the spring window and stretch out the December window to probably early January. Mike, I'm buying it. I don't care that it makes it more difficult. But my question for you is, are you buying or selling it? You kind of were playing devil's advocate with me earlier. Is this a good thing for college football? This is football specific, where they would have the one transfer portal time, and that would likely be January, early January, a couple of weeks before the next semester begins. Buy or sell?
This is an apprehensive purchase because I think ultimately you're going to keep having to figure things out, but ultimately it'll work out.
Yeah, I'm buying it. Oh, it makes it hard on the student athletes. It's too easy right now. If you're not going to make them sit out a year, which I'm good with that. If you don't like your situation or you think you can be better, okay. But at least don't make it so easy. It's so easy at the end of the season, and then you can skip out on your bowl, all that. I don't like it. Mike McDaniel, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Will he be the head coach of the Miami Dolphins next season?
I'm going to sell that.
That he will not be. So you're saying he won't be?
He will not be.
Ooh, the Mike McDaniel time coming to an end.
And he was so popular.
It was fast. It went by fast. You know, he kind of, I felt like he stormed onto the scene, and it was a really fun story because he's unlike any coach we've ever seen or heard from. He's very kind of out there, and he has fun. It's like different, the opposite of Bill Belichick. He just kind of goes off on the, not rants, but just weird things that he says. And I find him very, very entertaining.
He's a tremendously likable weirdo.
Yes. I mean, they went to the playoffs his first year in 2022. They were 9-8, and they lost to the Bills in the wild card game. 2023, they were 11-6. They lost to the Chiefs in the wild card game. Last year, they were 8-9. This year, to start the season, 0-2, going up against the Bills tonight.
Things just feel different, though. Just felt wrong.
Tua, I don't know what kind of quarterback he's going to turn out to be. The Tyreek Hill stuff is different. You know, there for a while, I was like, well, this is going to be high-flying offense, man. Good luck keeping up with them. And we just haven't seen it. We didn't see it that much last year, dealing with the injuries and such. But so far, not so good. Does he survive the season?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't feel good about it.
I'm getting implosion vibes, but I think he'll survive this season.
I mean, the Dolphins are just regressing. They're getting worse, and you're going to look at that and say, has the shtick run its course for Mike McDaniel? And I don't know if he'll get fired this season, but I'm buying that they're going to be looking for new. The Dolphins are going to be looking for a new head coach next year. Feel bad for our old producer buddy, Angel. He was a Mike McDaniel guy. He became a Dolphins guy because of Tua, because he's an Alabama dude. And then I think he really latched on to the idea of this interesting coach being the leader. So I feel for Angel. And Alabama's in a weird, kind of in a weird spot, too.
Well, now he can start rooting for Alabama solely.
Colin Cowherd says something interesting yesterday. He believes, now he's talking about overall football, not NFL or college. He believes Jim Harbaugh is the best coach in football, anything, history, whatever. He believes Jim Harbaugh is that guy. Over Bill Belichick, over Nick Saban, over Chuck Knoll, over Andy Reid, over Tom Landry, over Bill Walsh, all of those guys. He believes Jim Harbaugh is the number one coach to ever do it when it comes to just football. And I don't know that I disagree. I do buy that.
So.
Why?
I'm sorry, but I can see the criticisms against Bill Belichick. But you have a lot of other, like, really, really great, like, Bill Walsh.
Yeah. Well, I guess here's my thing. What do college coaches that are really good in college, and I'm not talking about Bill Walsh, obviously, but what do great college coaches struggle to do?
Make it to the NFL.
Make it to the NFL. And our great NFL coaches, typically, do they go back and are extremely successful? Why am I blanking out Nebraska's head coach?
Oh, yeah, the former Raider coach.
Well, he was with the Panthers. Why am I blanking out on his name? Micah, you're not helping me at all.
I'm not
searching
helping
it
you all
while I'm talking. Matt Rhule, thank you. NFL, college, good. NFL, bad. Back to college. We'll see. Matt Rhule, thank you, Derbs. My producer, thank you, Matt Rhule, Tanner. Texting. As Michael stared at me blankly.
I couldn't remember the name either.
Well, I was hoping you have 577.
I'm trying to remember the Raider coach's
computer.
Name.
Well, you're obsessed with the Raiders. You have 577 computer monitors in front of you. Oh, now you're looking it up. Are you confirming, Matt Rhule? Are you confirming? Did you get that confirmation?
I'm looking up a different guy.
Okay. You're not even in this world we're in right now. You're not even
on
this planet.
I'm never in this world, Brady.
I just love that you're staring at me. I'm like, ooh, you have a Google device.
The internet.
Couldn't forget.
They have that on computers now?
So Jim Harbaugh, when he was with Santiago in the Pioneer League from 04 to 2006, he went 29-6, okay? Then he went to Stanford. His first year, 4-8, then 5-7, then 8-5, then 12-1. He was 29-21 at Stanford. Then he goes to, after Stanford, he goes to San Francisco. First year, 13-3, 11-4, 12-4. They lost in the Super Bowl to Baltimore in 2012 to his brother. He was 12-4 after that. They lost in the NFC Championship game. And then 8-8, his final year. Then he goes to Michigan. He gets back into the college world. He finishes with an 86-25 record, and they win a national championship. Did they cheat? So did Bill. So did maybe Tom. He makes a strong case, man. He almost reaches the pinnacle in the NFL, but he was in the playoffs more often than not. He only missed the playoffs his final year. Last year, they were in the playoffs with the Chargers. They were 11-6, and they lost to Houston in the wild card game. The guy does win everywhere he goes. I don't know, man. I have to think that it's probably Jim Harbaugh when we're just talking overall. Now, is Bill Belichick and Andy Reid a better NFL head coach than Jim Harbaugh? Yes. Is Nick Saban better than Jim Harbaugh when it comes to college football? Yeah. Urban Meyer, maybe? But if you're just talking overall football, he's like the Travis Hunter of football, of coaches. He might not be the best corner in the league, and he might not be the best wide receiver in the league, but he's really good at both, and nobody else can say that. So I would say he's on to something. I'm buying that 100%. I know you're out on that, but if there were a football Hall of Fame like there is basketball, because there's no NBA Hall of Fame, it's just basketball. If it was just the football Hall of Fame, I would put Jim Harbaugh at number one. I don't typically like to steal other radio guys' topics of conversation, but this is one I've always kind of thought, to be fair, that if you were just talking overall football, a good example of a guy that could do it both, on both sides, in both leagues, that's Jim Harbaugh. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. I mean, there's other names, but there's not a long list of guys that can go on and be extremely successful. Go Poke says Bill Callahan.
That's the name I was looking for.
Yeah.
Because he went to, after the Raiders, he went to Nebraska and failed.
But he was barely above 500 in Nebraska. So you were thinking he's another name, or you were just thinking of a random?
I was trying to remember another name, but he was a failure at Nebraska, Bill Callahan. There was also another Raider coach, Lane Kiffin.
You know all the Raiders coaches.
What?
You know a lot of Raiders coaches. You have a lot of Raiders information in your brain.
I am a Raider hater.
Know Thy Enemy?
Know Thy Enemy, yeah. That's also a great song by a great band.
Give me a coach. Okay, Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll might be a good example. He was successful at USC.
But he also failed a lot in the NFL.
Until he got to Seattle, right? Because he didn't really succeed. He was with the Patriots, wasn't he? Before going to USC. He wasn't really... Was he good with the Patriots?
Yeah, I think he lasted 2 years.
And so far, Bill Belichick is off to... Well, I don't even know. I stopped paying attention to him after that first game of the season. I don't know what their record is. But Pete Carroll's probably the next best. He's got a Super Bowl with the Seahawks, of course, Mike. We don't like to talk about that one much. But his record, I mean, with the Patriots, he was 27-21. He was in the playoffs. I guess he coached for the Jets, too. They were 6-10. He was in the playoffs 2 out of his 3 years with the Patriots. Then he went to, after the Patriots, he was off for a year, and then he went to USC, where they were really good. He was 97-19 with USC. Won the Rose Bowl in 2003. And they won it in 2006, and they won it in 2007, and they won it in 2008.
And then he left when they were about to get suspended.
Well, yeah, that's what they do, man. That's what Harbaugh's doing.
I've decided to move up to the next level. Yeah. Oops, we cheated.
Oh, what? I had no idea that was happening. To be honest with you guys, I kind of thought it was. That's why I wanted to get out of there. Really bad environment that I was in control of and knew everything. But, yeah, peer pressure. And with Seattle, he was there for a long time. 137-89. Is Pete Carroll? Should Pete Carroll get this over Harbaugh? He has a Super Bowl ring. Maybe you make the argument that it's Pete Carroll. Would you make that argument? Or are you not even throwing these two in there? If we were just saying overall football, if Pete Carroll wins with the Raiders in his final, I mean, he's in his 70s. He doesn't look like it, but if that man finds a way to win a title somehow with the Raiders, then he's got it. I'll give it to him. I know you threw up in your mouth a little bit, but this is a sports show, Mike, and you got to put your obsession, like I'm talking real creepy obsession with the Broncos, you got to put it away.
I just wonder what's in the gum that he chews.
It's probably not
steroid that makes him look younger.
It's probably not Fruit Stripe gum. That does not last very long. That's for about 4 seconds. So he's got to have some of that really long-lasting bubblegum type stuff that can last for, 30-minute chew, and then he can get another one popped in there.
Triple mint gum.
19 minutes after the hour. Thursday night special. Mr. Thursday Night. Hashtag it, by the way. We've got a 2-0 start, obviously. I mean, I could have picked that I would start 2-0 and then I would be 3-0 because I would have been correct. Tonight, we have the Miami Dolphins, and you have a coach that is maybe considered dead man walking, going up against a possessed Josh Allen that has one thing on his mind, and that's running through the league and finally getting over the mountain and winning a Super Bowl. The question isn't who's winning the game tonight. The Dolphins are not saving their season. The question is, do they cover 11.5? This is the NFL. The worst team in the league. It's not going to be wild if they lose by a field goal to the best team in the league. And I don't know if the Dolphins are the worst team in the league, and I don't know if the Bills are the best team in the league, but you still wouldn't be surprised if this comes down to a game-winning field goal. That happens. So covering 11.5, that's tough. Can the Dolphins make it competitive, give themselves some confidence going into the rest of the season? We'll find out. Brian Gary, we brought in the big guns, co-host of Good Morning NoCo, to produce, write, sing the intro for the Thursday Night Special. It's never been better. It's amazing. He's changing lives with these songs. And coming up, we hear he brought in some other support to make this song really pop. So we're going to find out what Brian Gary has up his sleeve for us for the Thursday Night Special. And then, of course, more importantly, we find out who the pick is. That's coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
College football, the NFL, and the Broncos on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Just a young dude with a big mic. Brady Hull is Mr. Thursday Night. He'll be picking, we'll be winning, and who'll be left behind? Not the Broncos, because they ain't playing. They'll play again on Sunday. Is today a Sunday? No, it's a Thursday. It was Wednesday before the Thursday. Thursday, 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 Thursday,
Thursday, Thursday, Thursday,
Thursday, Thursday, Thursday, Thursday,
Thursday. Yes, it's Thursday. Who's going to win on Thursday? Thursday? Who's Mr. Thursday? Brady
yes.
Ho is Mr. Thursday.
Wow. Wow. Was that Derbs and Tanner on the backup vocals there?
That was, yeah.
That was solid. That is my favorite one so far.
I like the first one.
This is now you like the Metallica cover?
Yeah.
No, this one, that was my favorite. That's my jam right there. Oh. There's no question. So when, as a great leader and great overall person and talented.
Thank you.
You have to acknowledge when things are going down and you're like, okay, the Thursday Night Special it's been lacking life for a while. We need something. So as a great human and pretty much at everything he does or I do, you find a way to inject life back into the program. And that's what we did. We saw talent. I see talent all over the place. I can navigate through that pretty easily. So I said, I need the big guns. I need Brian Gary. We've all heard the Lemons Heating and Cooling jingle. You don't just learn how to be that great. You are great. And that's Brian. And then we bring in the dude down the hall and Tanner. I mean, they come in with backup vocals. Legendary. This is the stuff that legends are made of. Now, for tonight. For the pick. Which is what this is what this whole thing is about, Mike. This is what this journey is all about. Dolphins, Bills. The Bills are... Kevin Lytle's there. He's ready for the show. The Bills are 2-0. Josh Allen is the man. The Dolphins are kind of circling around the drain, but they need one tonight. If they win this game tonight, suddenly all that talk goes away. Just ask Nick Sirianni about where he was about this time last year. People wanted him gone out of Philadelphia. That's how they feel about Mike McDaniel now. Can the Dolphins pull off something crazy? I think we've already established that. No. But can they cover 11.5? Mike McDaniel said, he's talking about what is expected of him. He said, I'm very understanding that in this business, it's results based. My job is the more that other people talk about anything, the less I even hear it. Buffalo. That's what it is. Buffalo. And the Miami Dolphins. They have the Bills on their mind. No. Sorry, Mike McDaniel. I think you're entertaining. I think you're cool. You're not covering tonight. You're going to get an old-fashioned butt-whooping tonight from Josh Allen and the Bison Bills.
Do you know why he's called Buffalo Bill?
Started as a bad joke in Kansas City.
Something happening here.
He's the one who can hurt you the most.
What it is ain't exactly clear.
No, this is aggressive.
Anytime we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
On second down, Allen looking. End zone, touchdown! In the traffic, Dalton Kincaid is there for six.
Allen
looking to throw. Fires to the back for two with Keon Coleman.
Yeah. More of
and
that.
And the penalty on the Ravens cost them a point. The fake. Allen looks to the back of the end zone. He'll take it himself for the touchdown. Allen reaches over the goal line for the touchdown. Broke the plane just by jumping and using.
I think he could break a plane. I think Josh Allen could break a plane. Like he could actually grab one side of the end of the plane and the other side, the front of the plane, and just break it over his knee. I think he could do that. That's how good I think Josh Allen is. And I'm not exaggerating that even a little bit, Mike. How are we feeling about my chances of going 3-0 and being insufferable for another week?
That's a weird Josh Allen obsession.
It's not really. He's not even the best quarterback in the league. But tonight, he's going to play like the best quarterback in the league. You might even see Mitchell Trubisky in this game. It's going to be that bad. Mitchell Trubisky might be playing in the fourth quarter. The Bills are just going to roll over the Dolphins. Like, I loved Flipper growing up. That was cool. Flipper the Dolphin, awesome. And then Snowflake in Pet Detective, glad they found him. But none of that magic is going to be on display tonight when the Dolphins take on the Bison Bills, 32 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right. Now take this, baby. You don't care
about me. Oh, the Rockies are losing.
Cookies.
Yeah, I'm trying to do the little microphone command here, voice to TV thing to get the Rockies. And how many tries did it take?
I was about to compliment you on how fancy the tech is here.
Oh, yeah.
You can talk to your remote control to change the channel until it tried to change it to cookies.
Cookies, keys, a keys.
But it did not produce, like, if the TV had kicked out some fresh chocolate chip cookies, that would have been great.
Then we would have been cooking.
It just didn't change the channel to the Rockies game.
So do the Rockies avoid the bad history today? They're down 1-0 in the middle of the second. What do you think?
Honestly, it'd be a nice day to be down there. I wouldn't want, like, paid.
It would be a nice day to be down
there. But just, it'd be a fun day to hang out at the ballpark.
I think it'd be fun. Yeah. Just to go sit there and have a brewski or a hot beverage, dog or something. And
or cookies.
Cookies even. Yeah. I'm sure you could get that. They're giving them away for free just for showing up. So down 1-0 here, and we'll see.
I just got tweet. I'm joining the whole show.
You're joining the whole show right now. Yeah, you just got here. Thursday night special, I'm 2-0, Kevin. How are we feeling?
Yeah, you're cooking. I agree with you tonight. I think I agreed with you last week. I thought you were wrong week one. So I guess I'm unofficially 1-1.
1-1, yeah. Well, it's been a little magic that we brought in. We kind of incorporated the whole staff here to make it a little, to pop this thing.
Well, I've heard Thursday night, Mr. Thursday Night is world famous. Internationally famous.
Oh, I mean, so many different publications. I'm surprised you guys haven't called yet for a story.
We called your agent. They said no.
I'm starting to charge for those things.
Yeah, they said no.
It's a lot of time. And the time that it takes for me to make the pick.
Yeah.
Like, that's a weekly thing. Like, I'm already working on to... Whoever plays next week. I'm already working on that game. So we got to be prepared. Speaking of being prepared, how about those CSU Rams coming up this weekend, 7:30 against, in Jay Norvell's own words, one of the best G5 teams in all of college football in UTSA?
Yeah, I think I've been trying to stress this just educationally. UTSA is maybe not the biggest name for fans, but this is a really good program. They've been... arguably one of the top G5 programs for the last several years. Last one or two, not amazing, but like 7-8 wins. Then they had three straight a couple of years ago of, I think it was 10 wins, 11 wins, 9 wins. So they've been really good. Their offense is really good. Ignore the 1-2 record. One was a loss at Texas A&M, obviously not bad. The other was a shootout against Texas State, who appears to be pretty good. And then they rolled Incarnate Word. This is a good team and an incredibly explosive offense. I'm really excited about this game. I mean, we'll get into, especially in Rams Weekly after this, we'll get into some of the more details. But just pure football, I think this has a chance to be a really fun football game.
Well, I mean, this could be one of those games where, you looked at the UNC game as 21-17. You could see a complete opposite type of score where both teams are like in the 30s. We're back and forth. Maybe.
Statistically, that appears possible. Although I keep reminding myself, remember the New Mexico game last year where like, oh, Devin Dampier's awesome. New Mexico's defense can't stop anyone. So it's going to be, 37-34. And what was it, like 17-3 or something that?
Yeah.
So I do keep kind of cautioning myself of, oh, well, it sure looks like a shootout. But it does sure look like a shootout.
Yeah, it could very well be 7:30 on FS1. So, and I think the weather's going to be all right.
Should be perfect. I think it's supposed to be like mid-70s during the day. So by kickoff, I'll get mildly chilly, but honestly, should be really comfortable.
It's a big opportunity here for Colorado State because, Washington State, I don't know how to...
They don't look great.
They did not. Last week was really rough for them. So
and
there could be a chance.
I saw they have a 3-quarterback competition, which I don't know any school that would rotate between 3 different quarterbacks.
Oh,
I've never
silly.
Heard of that.
You'd have to look very far.
Very far,
that.
At least 45 miles or so.
Yeah.
Huge. I've said this. I mean, I think, Brady, let's go roll back the tapes. But I think I've been saying for a long time, UTSA is one of these swing games of the season. And I think that as much or more than ever, given, some of the breaks in the schedule, what happened to CSU last game, I just think this is huge. You win this. Everyone forgets about UNC.
I think so.
Says, oh, whatever, they just overlooked them, but they found a way to win, whatever, doesn't matter. If CSU lose this, it's like alarm bells start ringing. Next week against Washington State would become just monumental. So I just think it's a huge game, and it's national TV. Anytime you can win those is obviously a good thing. So just a big Saturday night.
Yeah, it is big for so many reasons. Like you said, I'm with you. I think the UNC thing in the moment – It did feel like a loss, but if you can beat UTSA and then even beat Washington State, you're not looking at that game anymore. You're just saying that's a win, whatever. And UNC might be pretty good. They went up against South Dakota and went to overtime with them.
The transference of week-to-week results doesn't actually matter, but it does mildly help of like, okay, they're not like a horrible team. But yeah, it's just a results business. They ended up getting the result they needed, CSU. It wasn't pretty. But if they were to go win these next two and leave non-con 3-1, again, no, who would care about the UNC game? It wouldn't matter at all at that point. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just a huge weekend. Like I say, I'm super excited about it.
I tend to agree that, you know, people look the other way. If you can just – you just got to get wins at this point.
Yeah.
If you're CSU, you just got to find a way to get this win, and then hopefully you're able to take care of Washington State, and then suddenly you're 3-1 in non-conference play. And we all know they turned it on last year once they hit conference play. And this Mountain West Conference is kind of a crapshoot.
I was going to say, I think that's the other part looming. Looming is probably the wrong word, but the back set of all of this is the Mountain West looks mid, as the youths would say.
Mm, yes.
So it looks very winnable. So you need to get yourself going, get everything right and fixed and set, because I think I can make an argument for a handful of different teams to make the conference title game. Out of the Mountain West, because everyone looks somewhat vulnerable, and CSU is one of those teams that you could see how it could kind of go sideways, but you could see how it could go well. So,
And then even though, like we said, you're not going to pay attention to the UNC game as much, but if you really wanted to keep digging and you start 3-1 in non-con play and also go, it was 21-21 against Washington too, maybe the alarm bell shouldn't be going off.
That's the funny thing of how quickly it swings, especially early in the season. So we talked a lot about this in basketball, of rosters change so much that the early season, you don't throw it away because the games matter, but teams change a lot early on. And it's true in football. The problem with football is you play so fewer games that each one is more dramatic and bigger and all that jazz. So basketball could have 2 weeks, play four games, and change a lot, and it's like, okay, on to the next one. Football has played 2 games in 3 weeks, so each one feels really big, and because you play fewer, your adjustment period kind of needs to be quicker. But like you said, 2 weeks ago after Washington, I think most people are feeling pretty good. So right now, we just don't know. I was even talking to some people inside the program. They're like, I think we're going to learn a lot about what we are this week. Like, that's where we're going to know. We don't really know yet.
Well, and I think about this last year. This is the glass half full thing. I mean, they were 2-3 in non-con because they played Oregon State. They had UTEP. They had Colorado in there and UNC in Texas. Especially after those first three games, I don't think a lot of people thought, late in the season, before they took on Fresno State, that they were a game away from being – that they would be a game away from being in the Mountain West Championship
game. After that Oregon State game, because that was a bad loss at the end, there were very few, if any, people that would have said, oh, yeah, November, they'll be on the road at Fresno playing for a spot in the conference style game. Obviously, they lost it, but they were right there. It can change quickly, especially when you have a kind of volatile league, which I think they have this year.
Yeah. Well, and we'll find out, like, what – in Rams Weekly, we'll do our standings, too. And I'm curious to see where we're going to go with
Utah
State.
Power rankings are going to be interesting. Yeah.
Or power rankings, excuse me.
Yeah.
Because last week, obviously, CSU didn't play. But we all know things can change, even when you don't play. Other teams might look good. I thought Air Force would beat Utah State. Air Force got the offense going, but their defense is terrible.
That's a lot of points.
And Utah State looks like they have a stud quarterback. So now suddenly things have changed a little bit there. So I'll be curious to get your thoughts when we get into all things Rams Weekly. Coming up, we'll get to what did we learn. But I want to ask you, side note, because you got Wyoming taking on Colorado this weekend. And I don't know, man. I don't know.
So I think that Wyoming D is pretty legit.
Yeah.
Not pretty. Quite legit.
Yep, very much so.
Colorado, I've heard, has uncertainty at quarterback. I don't really know. I don't know if that's a talking point. That's an interesting combo. And obviously Wyoming goes in there with zero pressure. It's all eyes and pressure on CU. So that's going to be a free and loose Wyoming team that's going to be playing very hard.
And Caden Salter is not Devin Dampier.
No.
Or Ryan Staub or Juju Lewis. None of those guys are Devin Dampier. And
quite
I actually
clearly,
thought,
since none of them seem to want to be the starter.
I mean, the yards for Devin Dampier turned out to be pretty good, but I thought Wyoming kind of contained
him.
He
did a decent job. I mean, we know how good Devin Dampier is. I think you and I both kind of loved him last year, watched a lot of New Mexico games kind of solely because of Dampier. They did a pretty solid job, all things considered. They're going to be salty against CU. I will be pretty. I think CU probably does win. Just overall talent does usually win out. but I would be pretty shocked if CU just runs away with it.
Yeah, now that one's going to be interesting for sure. 48 minutes after the hour, we'll take a quick break. What did we learn coming up next? It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Rockies are up. Yeah, Krim homers for the Rockies, 1-1. Kevin, got a runner on base.
Never heard of that guy.
One out. I don't know half the roster anymore. But Rams Weekly is coming up at 2 o'clock here, so we'll stick with you until 3 here. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Don't sweat it, NoCo. With cooler temperatures upon us, that only means more red-hot takes on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn on this 18th day of September? We kind of learned that the Bo Nix, Sean Payton stuff is not... The sidelines, I like it. It shows fire. It shows competitiveness, and they're both very competitive, and they know what it is. There's higher expectations on them this year. So I kind of look the other way when it comes to that stuff. Kevin Lytle, did you learn anything interesting today? You'll probably reveal on Rams Weekly.
No, the only thing I learned interesting, there were some car troubles day, got stuck in the middle of the road, basically blocking traffic. Oh. A lot of people driving by honking at me as if I chose to park my car in the middle of the road.
Maybe it's because they knew you were the Kevin Lytle, and they're like,
couple very helpful folks helped me out, so much appreciated. So they're
good
folks out there.
Fixed up?
Yeah, knock on wood, I think we're all good. Okay. But yeah, so to the people being mad that my car died, I'm sorry. I hope you have a better day. To the nice folks who helped me, thank you very much. I hope you have a great day.
Yeah.
I learned people can be very nice amongst the mean people.
There can be a lot of mean people too, Mike.
And I apologize for honking at you.
On his scooter.
I knew. I saw the scooter go by. And
use your hand.
Beep, 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 beep.
Quit inconveniencing people. That's my job.
And we learned that Everybody Loves Raymond is way better than Seinfeld. Just way better.
Deborah, my car broke down.
He hates Everybody Loves Raymond. What does he have against Ray Romano? It's real life right there.
I think Seinfeld's better, but...
Oh, Kevin.
Ray Romano's a great dramatic actor.
All right, coming up, Rams Weekly. The Kevin Lytle sticking around. We'll bust into all things Colorado State. We got our power rankings that we'll put together for you, too.
1 through 12.
1 through 12. We'll get it right. We struggled with that.
We're 1-1 on counting to 12.
We'll get there. All right, we'll be back at it on Rams Weekly. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.